Mike Treif, President, Johnny Loan College. You know, I didn't know Mike. Morning, Mike.
Good morning, sir.
I didn't know you had an electric charging station on the campus of Johnny Loan
College. Yeah. Yeah, quite a few community colleges in Illinois do, and there was just recently we had, sort of to demonstrate it, a trip that took, it started at John A., went to Kaskaskia, then over to Lewis at Swick, up to Lewis and Clark, and then it made its way all the way up to Chicago, charging all the way. Some of those cars are interesting. The one that they used, that, I think Marion Ford offered it up to be used. It's about $33,000 with the tax breaks and everything down to the mid-20s.
All right.
Probably a good idea if you were going to, you know, make about a 30-mile commute. But,
right.
I mean, other than that, the technology still is a little bit lacking for me.
Better batteries.
Yeah.
It's interesting because I'd run into a guy in Anna at a restaurant there, and he had driven his electric car over from Missouri. Turns out that's what he does for a living, where he takes sports cars and electrifies them.
Wow.
And he's got considerably longer range, and it was a sweet-looking ride. You think that's a speedster, and apparently was pretty good at it, but that's one of the companies to do that kind of stuff. It's growing. It's an opportunity.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff to talk about today. One, of course, we talked about the electricity issue, but you've also got a new vice president.
Yes. Yes. Laurel Klinkenberg, Dr. Klinkenberg, is currently a dean at Hawkeye Community College in Waterloo, Iowa. She came in, we had 10 candidates to replace Dr. Deb Payne, who had been there for 2 years, but had been at the college for many, many years and was well known in K-12 circles in this region. So those are big shoes to fill. And Laurel really knocked it out of the park with the committee on campus and also with the board as she interviewed. I think her strong suit, besides being very personable, is that she has a real background in the things that you have to do to improve people's retention and long-term student success. We're bringing online, it's been 2 years, I've been here 2 years, and we started immediately with the purchase of a new student management system, a new computer system, and it is coming online as we speak. So she'll have the tools she needs. It's like driving a car without a windshield, Tom. If you don't have all the data coming and telling you what's going on with students, where the roadblocks are, how we can do better and be able to help them succeed, if you don't have the data to do that,
Well, you don't even know there's a problem.
No. Well, you sit around and you say, I think and I feel, and that gets you in trouble.
And anecdotal evidence does, because I have a tendency to get really emotional about anecdotal activity, yeah. And numbers always, I find some certain comfort in it. But I would think 54% retention rate at John A. Logan College, that number, you know what, it struck me, and I realized where we are, John A. Logan College, mm-hmm. in the feeding chain, mm-hmm. the food chain, that retention is not really so much of our goal. I mean, when I'm trying to put myself in your shoes,
sure.
I do that, our goal. I mean, I would think our goal is to what type of education you need and you want it for a job, right? And so retention isn't the heart of it.
I would say also that it's hard to ferret out in the data the type of people, you know, we're 8 miles away from a major university. And if you're just going to take a course with us, or if you're just going to take a year and then get into your major, that's a strike against us. I don't think there's a fair measuring stick right now. 54% on its surface, you'd say, well, you're batting, 500. You could do much better, and we can do better. But I always get very suspect as how they measure us.
All right. Well, I mean, thinking how you do better, wouldn't the real question be the other 46%, what they're doing after they left John A. Logan
right.
College. If they went for gainful employment,
right.
which was the reason why they came.
Oh, they might be coming for a 9-month certificate, a number of stackable certificates in computers. They don't really want the degree.
Right.
Is that a success?
Yes.
For us, it is.
It is.
Sure.
I mean, it's interesting because when I spoke last week with the director of the Illinois Department of Employment Security, Jay Rowell, I told him about the conversation you and I had. The sheepskin, the diploma on your wall, is not the thing that many people are shooting for now. It's that certification process,
absolutely.
Which you, of course, referenced computers, but there are other processes
sure.
that are included in certification as well. With that certificate, you can go do IT services at, or you can do radiology at, or
A specialty in automotive technology. You know, I mean, there are shops around here that are looking for somebody that can do alignment. So, I mean, if that's your specialty and if you're willing to take the classes necessary to be able to accomplish that, why would you worry about fuel systems? When, I mean, that's going to be your job.
Right. And when I look out there now, and I find this interesting, and I saw where an area hospital, I think, had done this, or regional hospital, everybody has to have a bachelor's.
I don't know that that's really where we are, where we're going, quite honestly. The example, I think I've used it before, but I'll belabor it. Snowden, the guy that he was making $82,000 a year for the federal government, did not have a bachelor's degree. The guy sold all the secrets. He had stackable, you know, I know this network, I know how to use this program. That's how he got the job. I think that's where everything's going, quite honestly.
Yeah. To know in the niche and specifications.
Yes.
It's weird because I ran into a history professor in Southern Illinois from France. Interesting conversation because the first thing I did said, you know, I don't like people from France. He says, neither do I. I'm Corsican. And off we were, and we had a great friendship.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And I said, so what's your experience with American academics? You are very good at specializing. He says, it's interesting that when professors come from the United States to his university, that they sometimes know more about what they're doing in Italy than they do there. There's the utter, total specialization of Americans.
Mm-hmm.
And that's always kind of stuck in my mind a little bit. If this is the way we're going now, you don't know a little bit about everything. You know a lot about one thing, and that makes you good to cherry pick for industry.
Yeah. I don't know. I still like the idea of being a well-rounded person. I do like the idea of getting the associate's degree and the bachelor's degree and the experiences that come along with that. I'm one of those guys that feels that you learn a great deal from adversity. And trust me, getting through to get a degree gives you your ample share of adversity to get through.
Well, I know a lot of people in higher academics that say, the way you don't understand, there's a reason why we have an arts program to go with the engineering program, and there's an English program to go with the astronomy program, and that's rounding you off. And I think that's easy to overgloss because I don't think there's a good way of, unless you have the experience, it's not a good way to give an example of what that means to you through the course of your life.
I agree. But I know that in my own personal life, it certainly was fraught with trials and tribulations that I think made me stronger.
Now, here's the thing. When you talk about this certification process and bachelor's degrees and getting the jobs, I mean, are we getting lost here just a little bit on what our mission is?
Well, I'm going to be on in Chicago next week. I've been selected to a committee of community college presidents. There's over a dozen states that allow community colleges to offer bachelor's degrees. It has gone down in flames more than once here in Illinois. I believe I was selected for the committee. I'm the only one south of Springfield by virtue of the fact that I'm 8 miles from SIU, and SIU's lobbying last time helped kill the proposal. And so I'm not that I have any great smack with SIU, even though I'm a graduate of SIU. I think what the goal will be to say, hey, let's find the places. The old Willie Keeler, let's hit them where they ain't. Let's find some programs that you at SIU have no interest, and other four-year institutions have no interest. A Bachelor of Applied Technology, a BAT. Are there opportunities, niches there where community colleges might be able to do it better? And then it really, if there's an agreement generally among the community college presidents, how do we approach our senior institution partners, and how do we legislatively move that forward? I'm interested. I'm not saying that I have a ready idea of what we would do at John A. Logan, but I am interested because it seems like there's legs to it.
I like this idea because as I'm thinking, listening to you talk about this, I think, well, we can bachelor's degrees, but what? The absence of SIU, first qualification,
right.
Filling in that niche. And then saying, okay, we got this list. What does that look like when we translate it into real life and talk about people getting jobs? You know, weird how every time I always equate education with work and better jobs.
You must.
Okay.
Who wants to get a number of degrees and sit around and philosophize about life? You know, I mean, you got to pay the bills.
Right.
For me, that's
you got to pay student loans.
It's always how to get to a check. And that's the beauty of community colleges, because many times we might be able to do that in 9 months with a certificate.
Well, then if it's all about a check, then why do people take liberal arts?
Because they're well-rounding themselves. I mean, again, my job...
Somebody at liberal arts is just mad as heck at me about saying that now. But.
Well, I know, but I mean, my job means a great understanding of a lot of different disciplines besides management and politics and all the other things that go into my job. But I like to be able to every once in a while quote Shakespeare. It makes sense sometimes, you know what I mean? And it shows that I have an understanding of the arts.
Right. All right. Then if you talk about rounding things out and rounding people, one of the ways that I got rounded out in my life was athletics.
Yes.
They think about this as a way to get free college.
Yes.
But it's more than that. I know it's more than that.
It's been a hot topic for a long time, ever since I've been at John A. Logan, especially the way that we've recruited athletes. You know, our interest in it has been that we give scholarships. We give our coaches the ability to scholarship athletes that they believe will help them win, because that's the ultimate goal, right? I mean, you want to have a successful program, and successful program means winning. I went through data yesterday because I was prepared for the fall, and I was prepared for questions about this because this is my third fall, and it's always happened. I use Springfield South as Southern Illinois, okay? And I'm telling you that...
Liberal.
I would say, you know, hey, if I'm a Chicago, Joliet is Southern Illinois.
Yeah, I know.
But, okay, Springfield South, 48% of our incoming athletes are from Southern Illinois. I think that's a remarkably good number.
I like seeing the Southern Illinois people get the shakes. I do.
So I'm here to tell you, one out of every two athletes coming in and putting Logan on their chest this fall will be from Southern Illinois. And I'm not counting St. Louis.
But is this through recruiting, Mike?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
The board, while it didn't put a hard number, said it, we really would like for our coaches to look first locally to be able to fill the spots. You know, I picked up a history book. It was Mr. Huff, the one that wrote
Fred Huff.
Yeah, read he wrote the compiled history of SIU athletics, and you take your thumb and you open it up to 1958, and the basketball team at SIU was Heron, Pinckneyville, Mount Vernon, Benton. Okay,
right,
and they competed quite well because the center of the high school basketball universe was Southern Illinois.
Right.
Tell Barry, Coach Barry right now, you can't go outside of the state or north of Pinckneyville.
Ah! Right.
And tell him to compete in the Missouri Valley.
Yeah, and we want you to win the Valley Conference too.
So I'm just saying things have changed, but I believe we're doing a pretty good job of juggling it so that we are still true to Southern Illinois, and our teams are successful, and I'm pretty happy about that figure.
And I can't help but when I'm listening to you thinking about that Southern Illinois. The woman I ran into a couple of years ago, she drives school bus for a living, and her daughter got a scholarship at John A. Logan College to play on the golf team.
Mm-hmm.
She literally was telling the story, eyes teared up, that she wouldn't have been, she wouldn't get to go into college right. If she didn't have that opportunity. See, this is that round part coming back in, golf. She knows she's not going to be the next Tiger, the female right. Tiger with Michelle Lee or whoever. But that opportunity of Southern Illinois, Carterville girl, so you know, we don't have a lot of money. This is the way she's going to get to go to college.
But here's what I didn't want to have happen, Tom. I didn't want to be the person that tells a coach, I'm sorry, you need to take that 5'10 kid from West Frankfort and put him at power forward. That's not fair to him.
It's not your job, is it?
It's not fair to the kid from West Frankfort, and right. It's not my job. I hired the coach to make those decisions.
That's right.
But I think we're doing a good job of threading the needle.
All right. Let's look at this another way. Let's take it and turn it around. Do you think Tim Morthland thinks, well, this is a good idea to grow my college?
Sure.
Recruiting
Absolutely.
For the football team, building the dormitories. You know, we've got a football now. We've got a basketball team. We've got Trude and Heron.
Do you remember the wave of those small liberal arts schools adding football, McKendree, McMurray up in Jacksonville, Blackburn College, all of them knew that that meant not just the 70 athletes, but, you know, their girlfriends, et cetera. I mean, and when you have a 750 person enrollment, you know that adding a football team, while extremely expensive, probably meant you're going to have 1,100 kids.
In university ruling,
it was a strategy.
In university polling and surveying, 76% of college students say that the success or presence of an athletic program is a major contributor to their decision on which university to attend.
It's all part of student life. Student housing, athletics, theater, drama. It's the entire experience that makes the package that people buy when they go and get higher education.
Right. I want to be a nuclear reactor scientist, but I picked this university because they got a great football team. That kind of puts me on my tail a little bit. But I have a sneaking suspicion I'm picking something to make myself feel uncomfortable, when that nuclear theorist probably isn't looking at the win-loss records of the football team before he picks.
I don't think Sheldon Cooper knows whether to stuff it up or pump it up.
I think Sheldon would if it was football you were talking about.
That's right, because he's from Texas.
It's 8:39, 21 before the hour. Johnny Logan College President Mike Treif. What's next?
What's next for me, or what's next for the college?
For the college.
Enrollment ends August 15th. We're looking at a challenging fall. Budgets are going to be a big deal because we're looking at another cliff. And come December.
Well, the governor signed, but you weren't on one of those line item vetoes in any way. So
no, well, I'm just saying, come December, if it's Quinn, look for a lame duck attempt to be able to get that tax back. If it's Rauner, look for some major cuts in education.
Yeah. Well, my thought is either way we go, I can see the not-too-distant future, you and I going around Route 13 picking up aluminum cans.
I'm game.
How many did you find, Mike? I got 6. How good. We'll head the other road. Maybe somebody threw some out there.
And by the way, I'm Congressman.
Congressman Mike Treif. This morning I misspoke and I promoted Mike, so I don't think John will mind too much.
I must have been appointed.
Yeah, it's one of those appointments. Mike, it's always good
to
see you.
Take
Enjoy your 4th of July.
Thank you, sir.
24 the hour.